As you probably realise, we're reading the parable of the Good Samaritan this morning, and I'm reading it from Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Well, I just want to say thank you to our praise and worship team. Thank you to Avril leading us up the front there. Some of you may not know, Avril's not 100% today, so it is a sacrifice of praise for her today. But great to have Joanne on keyboards, playing the silky plastic keyboards. So very good. And Russell, the man on the bass. Thanks very good, Russ, having you back up there. You feeling good up there? Yeah. And Richie, the mercurial, I probably said that wrong, on the guitar. Well done. But you know what I mean? No? All right. Richie, the really good on the guitar. So great to have you up there. And Matthew, what don't you play? We've seen you on guitar, we've seen you on bass and on drums and piano. Oh, you don't play piano? It was a rhetorical question. But anyway, good to know. Good to know. But great to have talented people like that to lead us in praise and to worship. So let's just pray, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, it is good to get together. It is good to be around your word. And I just ask, Lord God, that you would watch over this time as we look at what you have to say to us from the word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many dads, confession time, how many dads here control the remote control in the TV room? Yep. Okay. And the other dads aren't putting up their hand. Why? No TV, fair enough. That kills it really quickly. Very good. I tend to be the one in control of the controller in our house, and I have this habit of flicking channels. Yeah, I know it's a confession, and it frustrates my lovely wife no end, no end. I think it's pretty good use of time. I get to watch 4 TV shows at once, and I don't get to watch any ads at all. 0 ads. I couldn't tell you an ad are on the planet at the moment. I flick very quickly. I was flicking the other night and I came across this little tagline. You know, some of these programs have taglines so that they keep you in. This one was, "Who is God and what is he doing?" And I went, "Oh, that sounds good. I'll come back to you." Flick, 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 flick. And because I went to an ad, I wasn't staying. So I came back and they had 8 standard Aussies being asked that question, "Who is God? And what does he do, or how is he?" And I was intrigued to hear those answers. And it was atypical Aussie answers. They either A, said something really silly, or B, made a joke of it, or C, came up with something that was so ridiculous it wasn't funny. They had no concept, no real understanding. One lady was the daughter of a Catholic and a Muslim, and she was an atheist. So there's an interesting household around religious days. So there's some interesting stuff going on there. But it was interesting that that question was raised, and at the end of it, like, I thought they would have an expert come on to answer the question, but they just left these people's opinions as, well, thank you very much for listening. See you later. And I went, what? That's it? That's what you're leaving us with? A whole pile of nothing? No substance? No quantity? No? Oh, I was so disappointed. Anyway, so I started flicking TV again. But today, we have an interesting discussion taking place, which leads to a story that I think we all know really quite well. Really quite well. Here we have Jesus in Luke chapter 10. And he's been doing a few things, chatting about a few things and talking to the 70 that came back. And all of a sudden, he has an expert in the law. An expert in the law. So this is someone who is our first character in this whole story. He is an expert in the law. He's not just someone that knows a little bit about it. He is an expert. And he says to Jesus this question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, for you that have your Bibles there, does it have inherit in there for you? Yes? Yep. Majority of translations keep the word inherit, but if you go into the Strong's Concordance, the word inherit could be translated as give or to have. But majority of them in Luke 10:25 will have inherit there. And it has a little bit of a connotation to it. Some of the Jews would have inherit eternal life because they were the chosen people. And inheritance means there's a right. It's the children that get the inheritance more than not. Although some people will pass on an inheritance not to children in the family. So generally speaking, that's what he was talking about. And so he's talking about eternal life. Now, for a long time as a youth pastor, trying to explain to young people how do you get eternal life, how do you get saved, how do you become a Christian, I would do the old ABC. And then as I got older as a youth pastor, I'd add D. First one was what? Admit that you're a sinner and you're in need of God's forgiveness, love and grace. Admit. B, believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he lived and he died and he rose again. C, commit your life to following Jesus. And as a lot with teenagers, I threw in D after a while, which was, and do what the Bible says, because so many people got saved and then thought that was it. That was my simple, quick explanation. Jesus doesn't answer this question in that way. Jesus answers it in this way. He says, what is written in the law? And the next bit was very important, I think. And how do you read it? What is written in the law and how do you read it? Now, this is Luke chapter 10. There is other parts in the Bible, specifically Matthew 22:37 and Mark 12, verse 30. But when you have a look at a chronological Bible, you will find that both of those passages take place in the Passion Week. That's the last week of Jesus' life. And this story in Luke 10 happens about 9 chapters earlier, so a number of years earlier than that last week. So Jesus hasn't said the greatest commandment bit as what was recorded in Matthew 22 and Mark 12. So what answer do you think this guy would come up from? This is an expert of the law. He knows the Old Testament back to front. He knows all the 10 commandments off by hand. He would probably know the 600 and something plus laws that the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and teachers of the law put together to help them commit to the top 10, all right, the 10 commandments, and to help them know what is the law, because the top 10 weren't self-explanatory enough. But he doesn't answer that, does he? He doesn't say, obey the 10 commandments. He doesn't say, obey the 600 and something plus laws that we've put in place. He doesn't even quote Micah 6:8. He says this passage: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you and I, who are walking in the 21st century and who know a lot of Jesus' teaching, know that that is the good news. Love God and love one another, very simply put. Love God and love one another. This is being said by an Old Testament expert, by a guy who is expert in the law. If you get to read through the Old Testament, you'll find that it's recorded twice, this passage, in Deuteronomy. And so that's Deuteronomy. That's not a passage or a book that we often think, oh, wow, some good New Testament type teaching. But it's interesting that we go from Old Testament, New Testament, and think that even God gets converted in the New Testament. We often think in the Old Testament he's this grumpy old God who just is standing up in heaven and throws lightning bolts down at people. Well, the interesting thing is if you dig into it deeply in the Old Testament, he's not like that at all. He's a God who loves his people. And the story of Israel is Israel goes on rebellion, then comes back and asks for forgiveness. God forgives, shows grace and mercy, and then guess what? Israel rebels again. It's the story goes round and around and around and around and around. That sounds a lot like today. Excuse me. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? You and I rebel. We come back to God. We ask for forgiveness. He gives us his love, grace, and mercy, and we get to walk with him a little bit more. The Old Testament went round and round and round. And if you look at through some of the minor prophets, you'll see that even amongst them, God is like the bridegroom. And the bride is running off having affairs all over the place, but he's this bridegroom that keeps taking her back all the time. All the time. No matter where she goes or what she does, Israel is taken back. The bride is taken back. And we too are taken back. The Old Testament shows us a picture of God and his father heart. Now, being a dad, there are times when that father heart causes you to be a bit of a tough dad. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah? Many of you know... Yeah, Jamie's shaking her head already. She knows it's a father story, so hold on a sec. I'm a daughter. Michaela's not here, so uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Many of you know Jamie has a love for fire. She loves fires. She has stinky candles in her room that she lights and goes through. And her mother has the same love. I think it's a DNA thing. You know, you light a candle outside when it's dark and you're trying to get rid of the mosquitoes, and both of them are there playing and getting sticks. And it's only a single flame this big, but oh, wow. So when there's a big fire, it's, oh, wow, bigger sticks, you know. When Jamie was really little, and she saw her first ever fire, she ran straight towards it, going, pretty! I'm thinking, barbecue! And I grab her very quickly and stop her running into the fire. It was an open fire. She was not happy with me. I was stopping her going and touching this beautiful, pretty thing that has awakened this desire in me to stick stuff in it. And I put her down and said, no, no touchy fire. And I turned away, pretty, running straight head on into it. Grab her again. For all those that are in the 21st century, just close your ears for a little bit. And I gave her a whack on the backside. And said, naughty, no touchy. She was really in a bad mood with me for quite a while. I took away from her the joy of touching pretty. Now, most of you people would know that what I did was a good thing. I was a good father. But to her, I was not a good father. There's many of us that walk with God, and sometimes we want to touch the pretty. That sin looks good to take a part of. That fruit looked good to the eye, and she took it and ate from it and gave it to her husband, and he ate as well. So sometimes there's that the father has to come through and say no. This section, this guy says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. That's a very New Testament answer, isn't it? That's a very Jesus type answer. And then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so what does Jesus say to him? You have answered correctly. Well done. I don't know about you, but if I ask Jesus a question and he says, yes, Donnie, you're on track, I'm pretty good. If I'm having a prayer time saying, God, how am I going leading the church? Is this good? Or how am I going being a dad? And God comes to me in my prayer time and says, you're doing well, Donnie. Guess what? End of prayer time. Thank you very much, God. I'm on my way. I keep going. I'm on track. I'm doing the right thing. This guy gets that you've done well. You've answered correctly. Well done. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He comes next and says, and it says, wanting to justify himself, he asked, but who is my neighbor? He doesn't ask, how do I love God, does he? I mean, the interesting thing is that this is important for you and for me, that we love God. But it's also important that we know that God loves us. Do you know that today? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that God Almighty loves you? Yes, he wants you to love him and he wants you to be in this amazing, intimate relationship, but it's not a one-way thing where you worship some idol. In Australia, we have different idols, don't we? One of my idols, in inverted commas, I'm finding it very hard to love at the moment. Talking about the Brisbane Lions. They got to learn to play more than one quarter of football. Get beat by another 80 points, it's hard. But we're in a relationship with God where God loves us and wants to be working in and through us in an amazing way. And that love relationship can grow and grow and grow and develop further and deeper and more passionately. He doesn't go into that area. He just says, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells this story. How good is Jesus to have this story right up his sleeve for when this guy asks this question? This is a powerful story, isn't it? We know the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus says, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So in other words, they left him for dead. He was robbed, he was beaten, he was not in a good way. Today, our world is out there beating people, isn't it? It's terrible. Having a prayer weekend like this, sometimes people will ring through or send text messages or Facebook, message you on Facebook asking you to pray for certain things. And it was amazing how many people from my past, young people who used to be youth group kids who are now 40, yes, I'm old, who are now sending through requests for prayer. One of my youth group kids from my son Bart's day sent through a request that she was struggling at the moment to understand what she has done wrong for her life to be in such a bad way, and could we pray for her? She has three kids, and she's 10 weeks pregnant, and her partner has just walked out on her. And she's absolutely devastated. Her eldest is 14, 8, and 4. And she's now a single mum. The world is beating her up, robbed her, and left her. And she's struggling. She's struggling to understand what's going on. Where is this God who says he loves me? And I could tell you a whole bunch of stories for the next 10 minutes, just out of this weekend, where people putting their hand up and asking for prayer. This guy is left dying. And the first person that comes across him is a priest. A priest happens to be going past. Now, the expert of the law hears that the priest is going past, and I could imagine the expert of the law puffs out his chest, because the expert of the law, guess who he gets to hang out with? He gets to hang out with the priest. They're all in the same workplace. If it's this era, they'd probably be having coffee together at smoko time. They hang out. They probably know each other. And he goes, yes, the priest will do the right thing. And Jesus says, and the priest walks straight past. The next person walking past is a Levite. And then the expert of the law would again go, oh, yeah, Levite, he'll do the right thing because I know Levites too, and they're good men of God, and he'll do the right thing. And he walks over to the body, examines it, and then keeps going. Now, These two people, Jesus picked beautifully. One, because they related to who this guy was, who the expert of the law is. He talked about people who he knew and who he would have respected and he would have known as pillars in the community. Pillars to do the right and important thing. But as a teacher of the law, an expert of the law, he would have also known, but both of these men, the priest and the Levite, if they had have gone to touch him, would have broken a whole bunch of laws and would have made themselves unclean for their job of worship leading, of being in the temple, of sharing the good news. So, of course, they couldn't go and help this person because it wasn't their ministry. It wasn't what they were called to do. And he would have been justifying that and explaining that away. The next person come along. I would have loved to have been there to watch the crowd's expression when Jesus says this phrase. But a Samaritan. I reckon there would have been a whole bunch of in the crowd. And especially the expert of the law. What's this guy got to do with the story? Why is Jesus even saying that word? Samaritans weren't well-liked people, especially for a teacher of the law, a priest, and a Levite. But even the guy who was beat up, who we assume is a Jewish guy traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, he, if he was conscious, probably would have said, no, no, I don't want a Samaritan to look after me. No, go away. But he was unconscious, and so this man was able to do for him what he did. And we go through a whole look this there, and he goes on. I wonder today who our neighbour would be. I wonder today who the Samaritan in our lives would be. I look around this church today, and we're an eclectic group, aren't we? We're not all the same out of the same cookie cutter. We're all different people. There are people here who this election will be voting differently to me. There are people here who will be thinking, I can hear another sports story coming on. I hate it when he tells sports stories. I don't like sport. Well, have a talk to Cynthia, lady. She gets it here and at home. There are people here who love classic music. There are people here who like rap. There are people here who like country and western, both styles of music. There are people here who love the cold. There are people that are going, I'm glad winter will be over by this time next week. We can get back to wearing just T-shirts and shorts. Thank you very much, Lord. Love the sunny coast. But there's different people here. There are people here who think I should get a haircut. Say amen. Yeah. There are people who think I look good with my long hair and my beard. Yeah. Some people call me Moses, Noah, and Grizzly Adams. Thank you very much. But we're different people, aren't we? We're different. And we all have different opinions and understandings on a whole bunch of different things. And when we're thinking Samaritan, we might be thinking some sort of person. But I wonder who would be the Samaritan in the 21st century. But the amazing thing is, he goes and does all this amazing stuff. And we get to the end and Jesus turns to this man and says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who had fallen into the hands of robbers? And the expert of the law replied, isn't his answer interesting? The one who had showed mercy. I think he couldn't even come to the thing of saying, the Samaritan. I don't think he could have even said it out aloud. The Samaritan. The one who had showed mercy. And then Jesus says, go and do likewise. So here's this man trying to work out who he's supposed to love. Who is my neighbor? Who is the one I need to reach out to? Is it the priest and the Levite, the ones I get on with and I like? And when Jesus says it's the Samaritan who is your neighbor, that just blows his whole world. You see, again, if we go back to the Old Testament, when the people of Israel rebelled and then they came back and they repented, God was a God of forgiveness, love, grace, and mercy. And in and through our world today, we are meant to be his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece. We're meant to bring forgiveness, love, grace, and mercy. Who's our neighbour? I believe our neighbour is everyone. Everyone. We are meant to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And if Jesus grabs hold of a Samaritan in his story on who is our neighbour, he's telling us where to reach out to love the unlovely, love the ones we disagree with, love the ones who we wouldn't invite to our birthday parties, love the ones who we wouldn't even want to walk through that area of town because that's a terrible part of town. For the Samaritans, it wasn't just a part of town, it was a whole great big chunk where they wouldn't even walk through that land, they'd walked a long way. So who's your neighbour? Only you can answer that question. But I pray that as you walk your walk with God, that he will let you know how much he loves you and that you and he can just commune and grow deeper in your love for one another. But as you do that, your love for your neighbour will continue to grow as well. That we will reach out beyond our four walls at home, in the church, in our workplace. But a good place to start is inside the four walls, inside your family, and inside your community. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this incredible passage. It's a story that we know, and it's one that we've used and read and talked about many, many times. But Lord, I thank you for this expert of the law. I thank you that he asked the question. And I pray, Lord God, that there will be many people that we come across who will ask us the question. We'll have an answer. And we will love them and care for them and help them. I pray, Lord God, that you would guide them in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.